It was June, and we had just embarked on a C-130 aircraft from Myrtle Beach Air Force Base. The plane was headed east when all of a sudden it banked to the left, made a 180-degree turn, and headed west. I was on board, along with others of us who had been deployed, and my NCOIC was sitting next to me, and I looked over at him and I said, "It's going to be a lonely, difficult Christmas." And that was June. Christmas is that time of year, and Advent is that time of year that we think about all year long. We make plans with our family. We make preparations months and months in advance about what the meal is going to be and who is going to bring what. We even set aside money, and we call it our Christmas Club savings account. I asked Linda the other day, "And how much do we have to spend for Christmas?" Thinking about the children and thinking about what we want to do. Philip Yancey went to his Rocky Mountain cabin in midwinter there to read the scriptures from beginning to end, and there to assess what he thought the entire Bible spoke to his heart. At the conclusion, he said, "It's a love story. It's a jilted lover's story. It's the story of God loving us and being jilted over and over and over again." Have you ever been jilted? You don't have to raise your hand. I will never forget one day I called who I thought was my girlfriend. I said, "And who is your boyfriend?" She said, "Jeff." My name's not Jeff. I had been jilted. I still remember it to this day, even though I might have been 14. It's a painful experience. And so as we enter this Advent season, and we think about God's amazing love to us, and we quote that scripture, "For God so loved the world," and we think about the times that God has been rejected, and here we are in the midst of this Advent season, this time of preparation, this time that says Christ is coming, but not yet the second time. And we hear again the story of how people were living in the days of Noah. They were enjoying life, but a few of them were prepared. A little girl was standing in front of a store window looking at a nativity scene, and she noticed that the baby Jesus was missing. And she cried out, "Mama, they have stolen Jesus." I talked with a store clerk one day, and we were looking at various nativity scenes, and she said to me something that I remember to this day. The one item that keeps missing when we put these things on display is the baby. People will come by and steal the baby. It's that season of the year when we want to make sure that in all the preparation and all the things that we do, that we don't allow the things that we get involved in, the Black Fridays and all the other things, we don't allow them to steal our baby. We don't allow them to take from us the whole reason for this season. And as Larry has mentioned, this is the first Sunday of our new church year. And as we think about all those things that we get involved in as a church, from the building of the ramps to the feeding of people and giving out food to the clothes that we give away during this season, especially the clothes closet, all those things that we do during the year, let us continually be reminded that we do these things because of our faith, because of our belief that ready or not, Jesus is coming. I remember when I was a little boy, we'd be out playing on the Mill Village out in the back alley, as we called it. If we would play those games and somebody would say, okay, you've got to count to 50. And you'd hear the count go down, 49, 50, ready or not, here I come. And a whole excitement would bust out among us kids as we would start running and trying to get the base and trying to do all, and such is Christ. In the days of Noah, there were some that were ready. And the question for us to ask ourselves today, am I ready? We don't want our Merry Christmas to be a bust. We don't want our joyful time to be such an emotional time that we have no joy. I remember one day walking down the stairs in the hospital, and it was close to Christmas. And the young lady was crying. And I stopped and I talked to her. I said, ma'am, I'm sorry that you're crying. Is there anything wrong? And she said, oh, there's nothing wrong. I said, ma'am, I'm a minister and I don't mean to argue with you, but it's been my experience that people don't sit down on the stairwells in a hospital and cry when there's nothing wrong. And she began to tell me the story, and you can imagine what it was, of sickness, of loved ones who had consumed all their time in the money that had been spent and children were at home. And I said, "Ma'am, I just want you to know that there are people in this world, and I'm one of them. And I represent a whole lot more people at church that care about you and care about your Christmas and care about the hope that you have. And I want you to know that we'll respond." I said, "We'll reach out to you." I said, "You don't have to not have a Merry Christmas, because the babe of Bethlehem, the one who came and was born in a manger, causes us to care and causes us to love and causes us to reach out. And if you'll give me your phone number, I'll call you." And she gave me the number, and we responded in love. Christ calls to us during this season, and not only this season, but always, to prepare our hearts, to be in tune. In the midst of our marrying and giving in marriage, in the midst of our doing the things in normal life, let us not forget to prepare our hearts and our lives for the advent of Jesus Christ. One will be at the well, one will be taken, another left. One will be laboring in the mill, one will be taken, another left. Let us make sure that in this Advent season, our hearts are prepared for Him. He's coming, ready or not.